All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit it 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Boys on the right bay.
Not that mad.
Crack there, you got it. Hope you were listening. It doesn't happen often. That's how excited I was on a Sunday. That's how little sleep I had. That's how excited I am on this Sunday. We got unbelievable, I don't even know what to say, 888-808-1019. We got teams saving their seasons. We've got seasons on the brink of the postseason. It's all coming together. Pennant race baseball is fun. NFL football was fun. It was fun to be a Giant fan for a day. And we're going to start there. We'll get to the Mets and their incredible weekend against the Phillies and what lines up for a three-game set against the Braves where it's going to be everything we thought it would be. And I know it's going to make you nervous. And I know heading in the stress of what has been with the Atlanta Braves. But this is the weekend you want. This is what you want. And what you want to see from the Giants just once, was a good, well-played football game. And more than that, and it was, for the most part. Because really, you know, this game obviously gets off to a start where immediately, head in hand, what the hell was I thinking? How did I pick them again? How did I work myself into actually believing they can compete with another team in the NFL? How stupid am I? That's how the game started. You all felt it. You know it. The fumble on the kick return, right? They ran two plays. The kick return fumbled, recovered by Cleveland. First play, Cleveland, Cooper in the touchdown. And it's just like, well, I don't even need to watch this. I know exactly how this game is going. Then the Giants go three and out on their first possession. And you know exactly where this game is going. And we talked about it, the defense of Cleveland at home in that building. And then here we go. Not only they're mistake prone, they do nothing in the first drive. And then the game kind of turned. And you know where the game kind of turned for me, obviously? They get the ball back. And on the first play of their second possession, Daniel Jones throws an interception. And it's negated by a hit to the head and a roughing the passer. And it felt like, for whatever reason, in that moment, and this is where I'm going to talk, because we're going to talk about Neighbors and how incredible he is. I'm going to get into it right now. And we all know it, being able to watch a player like this, it's been a long time, at least at the wide receiver position. We know how talented Barkley has been. But to see someone dominate like this, and we're going to get into the difference on what he has done for Daniel Jones in this offense versus what Barkley does for this offense. And what a running back could do for this offense. But for me, a lot of this, and I think it was a great day for the head coach. Because as we've seen with this team over the last year and a half, when you go back to the first year of Brian Daboll, right? There's been a lot of conversation about coaching scared and the aggressiveness that he did and the two-point conversion and all that. And that's part of it, too. And we saw a fourth down conversion in this game in the first half that helped lead to a touchdown. So we saw some of that too. But it wasn't just that. It was also how well coached they looked, how prepared they looked, and how unfazed they were by mistakes, and how late in the game they were the ones making plays, right? They come from behind and beat Baltimore by 10. They come from behind and they beat Green Bay by 10. This team was well coached. It didn't make that many mistakes, but they were undeterred by bad play, and big plays were made, and games were won. And in this game, to have that fumble, to have that touchdown, to have the interception wiped away, and from that moment on, the play calling, the steadiness, they were flat out better than the Cleveland Browns from that moment on. And I thought Brian Daboll had a tremendous day. Obviously getting neighbors involved as much as he does. On that fourth down, he ends the run around. They're handing the ball. Hell, he threw a pass in this game. They are going to use neighbors in every way, shape, and form that they can. And then obviously you get to the coaching staff and Bowen, the defensive coordinator, and flipping the script after watching him get beat by 1,000 cuts against Washington. And understanding that he's kind of got a vanilla game plan. He wants to rush with just four. He's going to sit back and cover. And you watch the Washington Commanders be able, without really converting on pass plays, but just somehow, whether it would be penalties or scrambles or the occasional third down pass. But for the most part, it just in any way, shape, or form, they were going to get down the field. You couldn't continue to take this defense and not try and pressure an offense in the Cleveland Browns that continued to lose offensive linemen as they went forth in the game. Went in with injuries, came out with more. Deshaun Watson's awful and especially awful under pressure. And so to change the game plan, to come into this game with an offensive game plan, a defensive game plan, steady the ship after the game started as badly as it possibly could have. I thought that was a great game for Daboll. I thought it was a stabilizing game for this coach. It made me feel a hell of a lot better about where this team was. Because you know what? Over the last year and now 3 weeks, this team typically folds after the start of this game. You know exactly where it's going, and instead, they put their foot in the ground and give it to this quarterback, too. Well, yes, of course, I get on a ton. And I don't know if he played as well as everybody's perceived he's playing well. That interception does get taken away. I thought he missed some throws, including some in the end zone. Doesn't matter. He played very, very well in this game. He made the throws he needed to make. I think we can just forget about the knee injury, other than, you know, he's prone to injury because of the way he plays and the neck injury. The knee, I think, is no longer a concern. You watch him run. You watch him play. I don't think he worries about it. I don't think we should be worried about it. We've moved on from the knee injury. I think he's going to be mobile, and he's going to be able to play with the same athletic ability that is really the biggest strength of his game. But the main takeaway for me are twofold. One, the coach and the ability he showed to instill confidence in this group. The defensive coordinator and how he was able to change his game plan and how he normally coaches and go out there and pursue and blitz. And then obviously Burns and Thibodeau and what they were able to do and actually get home a little bit. Dexter Lawrence is one of, if not the best tackle in the sport. Him and Chris Jones in Kansas City. He was causing havoc. They got 8 sacks in this game. They were creating pressure. They were bringing pressure. The defense looked much better. Now, again, I think Cleveland's terrible, and they have no offensive line. But still, that was a good defensive game plan. It was a good offensive game plan. And they were able to steady the ship after a miserable start. And now we get to the unbelievable playmaker that Neighbors is. And we know, coming out of the draft, that we expected him to be a talented wide receiver. And I've said this before, the draft is always a crapshoot. I think you could probably, looking especially at the last handful of drafts, stud wide receivers coming out of college, top of the draft, excellent, just no doubt about it. You're taking them if you can get your hands on them. Stud wide receiver coming out of the draft is about as good a lock or about you could feel as comfortable taking that player as any position in the NFL. But I don't know if any of us thought he would be this dynamic. And if you said you did, congratulations. I'm not so sure you believed it. But what we are seeing from this kid, his ability, I mean, the play where he literally rips the ball out of the defender's hand as he's behind him and goes over his back to do so and keep his feet in. Whether it's the unbelievable catch in the end zone where it seems like he jumped 10 feet in the air because Daniel Jones overthrew him. But just an incredible catch. And what I love about it, is you're seeing right now with Daniel Jones, and we talked about all the things. Like, this is one of the conversations I've been so tired in having, and finally I think we are getting some sort of answer on. All of the things that Daniel Jones didn't have, all of the things that Daniel Jones was not given by this organization, all of the failings that this organization has made for Daniel Jones, and that's all true. They have done a miserable job developing this kid, giving him an offensive line, giving him weapons around him, all the different stuff we talk about. Oh, he could use a tight end with size. Oh, he could use this. He could use a number one wide receiver on the outside. He could use a running back. What's going to happen to Daniel Jones without Saquon Barkley? Well, we're finding out right now, unequivocally, right? The offensive line's been better. That's fine. The offensive line has been better. But Daniel Jones needed a stud outside number one wide receiver, and his impact on this offense, and not to, you know, defend Joe Shane or relitigate the Saquon Barkley thing. I feel like I did that last week when Saquon Barkley dropped the pass. I think we all know, at least, you know, for me, we could argue about it again if you'd like at 888-808-1019. The contract didn't make sense for this team. And I've said it over and over again. If your best player is a running back, your team's not good enough to win. And as great as Saquon Barkley was, and as dynamic as he could be, although we know we've talked about the drop passes recently, as dynamic as he could be in the pass game, and as much as he was a home run hitter, at any moment he could break one, as he did yesterday for the Eagles. At any moment, he could break one for 60, 70 yards. And right now, that's going to be, you could see clearly, Singletary, if he could hold on to the freaking football, is not that kind of player. He's not going to make game-breaking plays. I think you could still have a run game, but you're not going to have your dynamic player from the running back position. Having the dynamic player be Malik Nabers, having the wide receiver be the dynamic player of the offense, someone you can run end-arounds with, someone you can run wildcat with, or you know, whatever with. Like, all the different elements that he can be incorporated into are going to help Daniel Jones and this offense far more than any running back could. And I know we like to talk about the offensive line. You need a competent offensive line. You can't have the worst, second worst. You can't have one of the worst offensive lines consistently year in and year out. But I think you're even seeing now that this type of player, a guy who can run the routes, get the separation, and when he doesn't get the separation, make a play on 50-50 and have someone that Daniel Jones can trust to just know, this is when I'm supposed to throw it, this is where I'm supposed to throw it, and he will make a play. Perfect example is you saw in the third quarter, he misses Nabers on a play where Nabers is in the slot, makes one move, beats his defender, is about three steps behind him. Daniel Jones misses him. Okay, I'm not here to kill Daniel Jones on it. He goes right back to it. They call it again. He throws it again. It's an incomplete pass, but it's something we haven't seen from Daniel Jones. The ability to just have a belief. Daniel Jones, even when he was winning a couple years ago, Daniel Jones didn't have the confidence to make plays like that. Daniel Jones didn't want to put the ball in anyone else's vicinity of possibly throwing a pick, right? It was no interceptions, no turnovers. That's how we're going to win. Mistake-free football. And I think it's been, as much as it was a positive that year, I think ultimately it's hurt him because he's unwilling to go down the field. Last year, particularly, unwilling to go down the field. And now he has a player, and I guess they were talking about it, throw it to Nabers. It's either going to be, either Nabers is going to get it or no one's going to get it, right? Put the ball in a position where either Nabers can make a great play or nobody gets it. And that instant trust and the compatibility you're seeing already 3 weeks in is so important to this offense, so important to Daniel Jones, someone he doesn't have to think. Right? Because we've all Daniel Jones, and I hopefully this will continue to get better or progress as he gets more involved in the offense. But let's be honest. 6 years in, Daniel Jones has a tough time going through progressions. Daniel Jones can overthink things. We've seen paralysis by analysis over and over with this quarterback. And to have someone as talented as this kid who looks like is as dynamic a wide receiver, 8 receptions, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns, 10 receptions in the game last week.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
To have this many receptions, this many touchdown passes within your first three games in the NFL, I believe it's the best ever. I mean, he has come onto the NFL field and immediately stepped in to be one of the best wide receivers in the game. Immediately. And he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's got Daniel Jones. And for right now, it's good enough because for once in Daniel Jones' career, for once, he's got someone where there's no thought process. I have a player who will beat the guy in front of him, and if he doesn't, he'll beat him at the point of attack. He'll beat him at the zenith at the ball. He will beat him at the high point. He will make the play. I don't have to think. And that has been, in the last 2 weeks, so obvious. The best weapon and best sidekick, for lack of a better term, or, you know, just best ability for Daniel Jones to function inside this offense. Having that staple of someone who is unworldly, you can see it. It jumps off the page. You watch the games. The guy is incredible. And to have that kind of player, you know, Eli Manning had won Super Bowls. Like, Eli Manning had won Super Bowls. He was a great quarterback already. It clearly took the offense to another level and made the offense easy and gave explosive plays in the 5-yard slant, went 75 yards. And we haven't seen that kind of dynamic play from Neighbors, but what we see is a guy whose routes get him open, who has the ability to jump through the roof, and who can make the 50-50 ball and can make decisions easy for Daniel Jones. And this game, there's a lot to get to, right? There's a lot to get to. We could talk about overcoming the adversity of the fumble as they're about to, you know, in the second half, they get the ball back after kicking it off. They get a stop on defense. They get the ball back. They're driving, about to put that fourth touchdown in there. They get the fumble. And then from that moment on, I didn't love the way the game was coached in the second half or the way the game was played in the second half offensively. I thought the Giants took their foot off the pedal, but they recognized what their defense was doing to Watson and the Browns. And they recognized that that game plan that admittedly from Watson and the Cleveland Browns were taken aback and surprised with how much pressure the Giants were bringing. The Giants defensively were smothering them. And offensively, after taking the three-score lead, or the two-score lead, rather, excuse me, the Giants didn't want to make that mistake and played a little scared in the second half. I didn't love it, but I understood the thought process. And it was good enough to win, even though they had some scary moments. And let's be honest, that last play of the game, I don't know how the hell that ball's not caught. Watson put it right on. And it was a scary moment, and everyone else were worried the Giants were going to play better than the Browns, be the more competent team, and find a way to lose in the end. Instead, they didn't. They get a great win. They are now 1-2, and looking forward to taking on the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys Thursday. They get to no wait, no bye week. See you in 4 days. Try and get right back in there, keep the rhythm going. And this offense, for the first time since the last game of the season 2 years ago with the Colts, and then the playoff game against Minnesota, have put together two pretty damn good offensive performances. And this quarterback has put together two pretty damn good performances and games where he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in a row. And that hasn't happened in a long time. The impact that Neighbors has on this team is dramatic, remarkable, and different than even Saquon Barkley. Different than anything we've seen for Daniel Jones. They've never improved the offensive line. It's gotten to a point where it's okay. They had the star running back. That was kind of that safety valve for him and somebody he can lean on. And the run game was something he could lean on. And him coming out of the backfield is something he could lean on. It's not the same as having his number one receiver, his number one option, eliminate so much process and just be able to say, I have a great player. I'm going to throw it to him. And that's exactly how this offense should function. Now, look, eventually, defenses are going to focus on stopping Malik Neighbors if they haven't already. It's probably going to get more difficult as the season goes on to continue to put up these kind of numbers and focus all of your attention in the pass game to Malik Neighbors. But right now, the game plan was excellent. The coach steadied the ship. The defensive coordinator adjusted. You know, so many times we hear about system and you got to play your system. You got to play your system. The coach was willing to forego his system, recognize the failings of it with this roster and what needed to be done. And what needed to be done was more pressure on the quarterback. And man, did they ever do it. So you saw a defensive coach who adjusted after 2 weeks. You saw a head coach and an offensive play caller who completely adjusted and made sure that his quarterback had things easy by going to the great player and getting him involved in every way, shape, and form, and someone who had enough of a temperament over this team and a feel for this team that after the fumble, after the touchdown, after that pick that was taken back with the penalty, they were able to go down the field, steady this game, and take control of it. And it's been a long time since you felt like the Giants took control of anything. And it was nice to watch. 888-808-1019. So let's talk a little Giants. We're going to get to the Mets and their impressive weekend against Philadelphia and where they are now and how this pitching staff continues to amaze me. And the bullpen last night and the urgency the manager showed in this game and how he managed it. And to do all of this without their MVP, who I hope he plays in the Atlanta series, I have no idea. But what they just did against Philadelphia and how they set themselves up heading into this series against Atlanta, where if they take 2 of 3, they clinch a playoff spot. The Mets have done an incredible job. They've been the best team in baseball since June 1st. And the idea that their pitching is that they went into a game against Wheeler and their starting pitcher was McGill, and they scored 2 runs against Wheeler and won the game. It's a remarkable job what this pitching staff is doing right now, and we'll get into it. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the Pete Alonso story, the tipping of the hat, the crowd and how it responded to being called out by Brandon Nimmo, his response, and how he played with the home run that won them the game, or at least gave them the lead, the bullpen, the whole bit, and how they are setting up for a series on Tuesday. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, the Yankees have made that Baltimore series almost rather unimportant. So we're not going to get that Tuesday night, that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of these series that would determine everything. The Yankees already have it determined. But this series against the Mets, against Atlanta, after what happened in 22, what this team and what these two teams have done over the last 20 years, where this is the Mets' nemesis, a team that caught them in this situation last 2 years ago when all they needed was one win against Atlanta and they couldn't get it. This series on Tuesday is going to be as big a regular season series as I can ever remember in this town. And it's going to be fun. And the Mets put us in that position. And pennant race baseball is fun. Watching Malik Nabers play is fun. Giants victory Monday is fun. So let's get it going. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
All right, parents. It's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.